We've come together to worship. We're very happy to have the Blazer Corps with us this morning, and they're going to begin the service. I'd like to invite you to take your bulletins and turn to the order of worship, and at the very beginning of that you'll see a call to worship that we want to read responsively. This call to worship pulls together the various lectionary texts for today, from Psalm 121, Genesis 12, and John chapter 3. Would you read this responsively with me? We look to the hills and to the mountaintops. We look to the sun, the moon, and the stars above. We look to the God of Abraham, maker of heaven and earth. Our help comes from the Lord. Would you bow with me as we pray? Inviting God, we are amazed by the way that you love this world. We have encountered and witnessed that love as you sent your Son Jesus, not to condemn us, but to save us. As we worship you this morning, help us to be open to receive your love and to respond to your call to move to a place of even greater promise, so that our journey with you not only blesses us, but blesses others as well. We pray this in the name of the one who was obedient to the end, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning. Would you turn in your blue hymnals to number 506, I Sought the Lord.
Once again, we'd like to welcome everyone here. Is it my imagination or is this not working very well? It's not working? Is it still not working? Peter, can you do some magic here? All right. Well, I'm sure he'll fix it while we continue. As I mentioned earlier, we're very happy to have the Blazer Corps here. I understand it's from mostly North Kildonan. Yes. All right. And you can see, as you can see, Paul and Ben White from our church are part of it. And I've asked Ben if he would introduce the group. So if you would, please, Ben. It's not working anyhow. You did very well, Ben. Thank you so much. And once again, welcome here. Are there others who would like to be introduced? Well, we trust that as we worship together, if you are new, that you feel a part of the circle today. A few announcements I'd like to make. Chris, if you'd like to come up and begin with what you have.
I'd just like to thank everyone who came out yesterday and made the smorg such a success. We served 320 plates yesterday, so it was a very good turnout. So thank you for everyone who participated.
And thank you, Chris, for helping organize that. It was great. The food was absolutely amazing. A few announcements. Well, there we are. A few announcements I'd like to highlight if you have your bulletins. First of all, before we get into the announcements proper, there's a note that Gerhard Braun is in Concordia Hospital. His wife Elsa is also in the hospital, but she's in St. Boniface. You want to be praying for them. It's tough for them as they worry about each other and what's going to happen with them, and it's a difficult time, so please keep them in your prayers. first five announcements I'd like to highlight. Want to keep in our prayers Anita and Hans Rempel and Ruth and Abe Friesen. Anita and Ruth's mother, Maria Funk, passed away this last week, and the funeral was held on Friday at Douglas Church. Point of celebration, Mark Dick and Stephanie Steski, and we did spell her name incorrectly. It should be an E instead of a U there. Had a daughter, Arabella Rose, so we celebrate with them a very special event. Number three, please take note of the display today. It has changed, as it will change up each week, and you can read the description of it there. Number five, there's going to be a choir rehearsal on Sunday mornings starting next Sunday. We have a new choir director, and she would just love to have lots of you come out, so we want to keep her happy. Kim Zacharias has an announcement, please.
Good morning. I wanted to draw your attention to point number four. A group of people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s gathered last Sunday after church for chili and buns and all that good stuff, and we decided to name the group Zinc for X, Y, and K, the people in Generation X and Y from our church. And we thought, well, we might as well get the ball rolling, and we're going to have a Mexican fiesta after church next week, and we don't know what that all means, but if you're in that group or you think you're in that group, we won't actually check your birth certificate. If you have kids in that group, you want to tell them about it. We're going to have a potluck, and of course the children are invited, and we're going to have some fun and games and see where that takes us. So if you have questions, give me a call, email me, whatever, and we're going to take it from there. And I think I'm going to start the sharing. Just wanted to let you know how my sister's doing, Melanie. It's been 8 weeks since she arrived in emergency. And it's just probably over 4 weeks now since she's come out of coma, and every day we see improvements, which no one can explain. So we're happy for that. She is hearing everything. She is responding. She's understanding everything. She writes to us either on paper, or I got her a dry erase board, which seems to work really well since she's writing all the time. Her vision seems slightly impaired, but not too bad. And the things that she's experiencing most of the time is frustration of her situation. She's not quite sure what's always happening, and constant pain from her nerves seeming to come back to life. And she explains it like being electrocuted all the time. So she's hot, and we have a fan blowing on her most of the time. They try to keep her as comfortable as possible. She's anxious about her recovery, whether she'll be able to talk again or walk or any of the things that we're used to doing. She has a tracheostomy, which they say they can trial to see if she can talk as soon as we know that she can swallow, and we seem to think that those muscles are coming back slowly. She's having physiotherapy and occupational therapy, and people are taking good care of her, so we're thankful for everyone's prayers. And we continue to wait and trust and hope. And thank you so much.
A miracle unfolding. It's just amazing. If there are others who have things that you'd like to share, Ingo is ready with a microphone. Are there others who would like to share this morning? While you're thinking, there is a note about a passing that we should have put in last week, and my apologies about that. Hilda Isaac of Chilliwack, B.C., passed away recently. She was a sister of Helen and George Weeb, a stepsister of Art and Irene Dick. Nieces are Valerie Weeb, Darlene and Wally Bergen, and there are a number of others. I'm sorry, I didn't get them all from the Dick family. We'll try and get that note in the bulletin next week but our thoughts and prayers are certainly out with you, out for you. The funeral was held, I believe, yesterday or recently. Are there others who would like to share?
Good morning. I just wanted to say thank you to all the young people who helped yesterday. I don't know where they are all the time, or am I blind, but some of them I have just not seen for a very long time. And I just wanted to say it was just so great. There's kids that were maybe 12 or 13, and so thanks to the parents and grandparents who got them to come and help. And it just really warmed my heart.
Was wonderful. Is there anyone else? If not, I'd like to invite the children to come to the front. There's a children's story for you. After the children's story, the Laser Corps will play another song.
Thank goodness you're here, Astrid. And Jeremy. Oh, and I saw Nadia earlier. Good morning. I have something to share about my family. Last spring, Paul and Ben and their dad built a snowman in the backyard, and we took some pictures of it, and we were watching America's Funniest Home Videos, and it was an assignment, America. And this evening, if you watch very, very carefully, you might see Paul, Ben, and Mr. White on TV building a snowman. So, that's our news. And now to the story. So, I had a little trouble this week, guys, about the story, because the theme that we're kind of talking about from what I was reading in the Bible readings was about trust. And trust is something that you guys do very well. Do you trust your mom and dad? And do your mom and dad look after you?
Yeah.
And when they ask you to do something and you're a little bit scared and they do it with you, do you do it? Like when you were learning to ride a bike. Some of you know how to ride a bike. And your mom and dad said, you can do it all by yourself, I'm going to let go of the bike. Did you trust them? Yeah. And so I was thinking, one of the stories is about Abraham and Sarah and how God said, you know, leave all your stuff and go somewhere else where I'm going to give you some land. And you know what they did? They just left everything and went. Now, I don't know about the rest of the grown-ups here, but I would have a hard time leaving everything and just going when somebody else told me to do it. But I know kids, I teach kids, they do it all the time. So what I was really thinking about today, about saying, is that you guys, you kids, are part of our church, a very important part, because when we look at you, we see what God actually wants us to be. People that trust and do because they are asked to, and they do it, and they know that God and Jesus will be with them when they do it. So thank you very much for being here for us. So the story today was really you guys and how much we love watching you and learning from you. So thank you very much for coming. Can we bow for prayer? God, thank you very much for the children in our congregation that are such a wonderful example of trust. Please help us to emulate them in our life with you. Amen. You guys can go.
Would you bow with me as we pray this morning? Holy God, on this second Sunday of Lent, we come to you as people aware that we have not always been faithful. Like Nicodemus, we intellectualize our relationship with you and miss the wonder of the way that you work in our lives and in our church and in our world. We have forgotten that we have been born anew and that everything has changed. And we forget that we have a message of life and hope for our world to be preached through our lives. But we have so much to be thankful for, God. Thank you for the new life that you give us, the new life that comes as we follow your Son, Jesus Christ, but also the new life of Arabella Rosedick. I ask that you would bless her parents, Mark and Stephanie, and the grandparents. Thank you for the wonder of the church family, the way that we can experience a little bit of heaven here on earth. Thank you for the promise of spring, and while we don't see it yet, and we're getting tired of waiting, we do know that it comes. Thank you for families and homes and jobs and food and time and for all the little things of life that we so easily overlook. We ask that you would be with those who are hurting. Be with Anita and Hans Rempel, Ruth and Anne Friesen, as if they have said goodbye to their mother this week. Be with Gerhard Braun and Elsa Braun in the hospitals. Help them to feel your nearness. Thank you for friends and family that stand around them. We ask that you would be with our university and college students as they work toward the end of their semesters. Help them to focus and work hard. We also ask that you would be with the situation in Ukraine as things come to a climax today. We sit with some trepidation watching the news, wondering how things work out. Be with our hurting world. Those who don't have enough to eat or jobs to sustain them, those who are not treated with dignity and respect, there are so many, God, who live in ways that you've not intended. Give us wisdom and compassionate hearts as we respond. God, this morning, as we look at our lives, we look at our world, we look at the way that you work and all you have done, we stand before you wanting to again affirm that we turn our lives toward you, that the offering that we give today is really all that we are and have. We long to follow your Son, Jesus, with every aspect of our lives. Help us to learn what that means. Amen. As the ushers come to collect the offering, the Laser Corps will be playing a piece called Camp Meeting. Thank you. Thanks again. That was wonderful. I was just thinking, that was a great offering piece, wasn't it? Sort of makes you want to get your wallet out. This year during Lent, we are following the theme, Encountering God. And today we're looking at the gospel story of Nicodemus. But we want to start with a passage from Genesis looking at God's words to Abraham. I'd like to read, first of all, Genesis 12, 1 to 4, and then John 3, 1 to 17. The Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." So Abraham went, as the Lord told him. The Gospel of John. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of things we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world would be saved through him." The word of the Lord. Elizabeth, please.
Good morning, everybody. So I got Phil, my husband, to read through my sermon, just as a final check, and he thought it was missing a little bit of something at the beginning. He said, you know, he likes to hear a joke at the beginning of the sermon just to get a little laugh in before you get to the serious topic. So I'm going to tell a little joke for Phil. Hopefully you'll find it amusing as well. So there's the big football match, and at the final, the championship title, the two teams are going against each other, and before the game, one of the coaches prays, and he prays, "Dear God, please bless me with this win. I'm at the end of my career and I haven't won a championship yet and I really deserve this because I've worked so hard, so please give this blessing to me. And the coach of the other team prays as well before the big game and he says, "Dear God, please bless these young boys with the victory. They've worked so hard all year and, you know, Johnny broke his rotator cuff in the last game and we really want to win this for him and please bless us with a win." So which team do you think God would bless with the win? Well, no, neither. Don't you know God only watches hockey? So that's the little joke. So, and I don't know if you've noticed how much people are talking about their blessings lately. And maybe it's just because I was writing a sermon on the topic, but I've noticed that a lot of people seem very thankful for their blessings. Some seem like genuine blessings, but others I kind of question, you know, like, "My grass is so lush and green, it's truly a blessing." Or, "My water is not brown and my pipes haven't frozen all winter. I'm so blessed by God." That one might be a little bit valid. But there's an interesting trend on Twitter. And just hands up, who knows what Twitter is? Okay, and who knows what a hashtag is? Okay, so most of you don't know. So Twitter is a... It's on your cell phone and you send out a little message to people who you know and some who you don't know. And sometimes there's a picture and you hashtag things. This is getting a little complicated, but, and that's like a topic that you want people to be aware of. So you put, you know, that symbol, a little hashtag in front of them. So there's a trend on Twitter where people will post a picture of themselves. So say, "Here I am laying on a beach with a fancy drink in my hand," and then they'll say hashtag blessed. Like, this is the amazing blessing, so that people can also follow all these other blessings. So, you know, not really a blessing. So I think the word blessed is overused. You know, people often talk about blessings in terms of material possessions, like, "Look at my new Ferrari, hashtag blessed." We do live in a world where we put high value on things and status, and a lot of people equate having a lot of things as a measure of how much God must love them. But this is a wrong way to think about blessings and can distract us from the miraculous blessing God has in store for us. I want to talk about blessings with a capital B today, blessings which can only come from God. So blessings are blessings because you can't do anything to earn them. Otherwise, it's a reward, like being paid for your work. And God needs workers, but we are not paid staff. We are all volunteers. Every one of us, even pastors, they're paid for their work of pastoring or shepherding a flock, which are the people of God. But the work they get paid to do is not what earns them grace and forgiveness of sins in the eyes of God. And this is a hard fact for us to grasp, this idea of grace and the amazing blessing God has given us. It's hard enough sometimes for us to accept gifts freely given from family and friends. We think, like, what did we do to deserve this gift? How much more hard is it to accept this blessing from God, to really believe in the blessing, because that's all that God asks, is belief. In the John text, Nicodemus can't understand it. Jesus tells him the good news in a few different ways, but he still can't quite get it. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's visiting at night, so we can guess he doesn't want the other Pharisees to know. He went to visit the man they've been trying to discredit. Pharisees were very concerned with the letter of the law. And Nicodemus seems to want confirmation on who Jesus is and what his plans are. To put this passage into context, Jesus has just finished cleansing the temple of money changers. It's no wonder the Pharisees has come to find out who this guy thinks he is. But what struck me is how polite Nicodemus is. He gives Jesus a compliment. He calls him a teacher from God. He doesn't interrupt him. He seems to generally want to know how to be born again. John 3, verses 5 to 8, Jesus tells him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So is it with everyone born of the Spirit." What Jesus is saying by this is the Holy Spirit works as it wills in the renewal of our spirit. We are passive recipients. We need only to ask, and God's grace is poured out for us. How it's poured out is another matter. That is something we cannot control. That is the Spirit blowing where it wishes. It's interesting to note that Nicodemus appears three times in the book of John, and he appears in none of the other Gospels. And this is the first time he appears when he comes to talk to Jesus at night. The second time is when the other Pharisees want Jesus arrested in John 7, verses 45 to 51. And Nicodemus stands up for Jesus and says he should get a fair trial before being condemned. And the last time we hear about Nicodemus is after Jesus' death in John 19, verses 39 to 42. When he helps Joseph of Arimathea prepare Jesus' body for burial. John never says if Jesus convinced Nicodemus of the truth of who he was, if Nicodemus invited the Spirit to work a change in his heart, to be born again, but I think we can guess from his actions that he did. Have you ever applied for a job where you thought you were going to be doing one thing and then you start the job and it's completely different from what you thought it was going to be? That happened to me when I applied to work at what was then called the Hope Center. Many of you know that I worked years for people with intellectual disabilities, but this was my first job in the organization. They told me what the job was going to be. I thought it sounded good. I would get an extra 50 cents an hour because I had a degree. It was a theology degree, but apparently that still counted. And so that bumped me up to an amazing $7 an hour. And I thought I was going to help people, help them get dressed, make their breakfast, help them get on the bus on time, help them remember to take their medication. And I did do that. But as I worked, I realized the job was so much bigger than I had first thought. The role I played in these people's lives was huge. They depended on me. My job wasn't just to make sure A, B, and C got done, but to empower them to live full lives. I feel like asking to be born again, receiving the blessing from God through Jesus, is like that. You think you know what you're asking for. You think you know what blessing you're going to get. And then, bam, the Spirit blows where it will. And suddenly, you realize you got so much more than you asked for. The blessing is so huge. And what is expected of you is no less huge. Blessings may not seem like blessings at the time. This is the case with Abraham and Sarah. God asks them to leave their families and country and go to the land I will show you. God doesn't even tell them where they're going, but that they'd know it when they got there. What God asks is hard. Abraham is 75 years old at this point, and this journey will not be easy. I'm sure Abraham wrestled with whether to obey and accept this blessing God was offering. I'm sure this did not seem like it was a blessing. Separate yourself from your family and the country you know to travel to who knows where. But the scripture says, Abraham went, the Lord told him. No questions. Abraham trusted God and was willing to journey with God through foreign lands and through hardships for the promise of the blessing. One of my favorite scriptures is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." We are called to trust in the promise of God, in the plans he has laid and the blessing he has in store. We may not know where this trust will lead us, and I guarantee it will be hard, but the blessing is worth it. God has planned for us, even if we can't see it quite from where we're sitting. John 3:16-17, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." This is a blessing we cannot work to earn, the blessing that will lead us on a journey to new places, as it did with Abraham and Sarah, the blessing that calls us to be reborn by the Spirit, as Jesus taught Nicodemus. This blessing is for the whole world, not just a part of it, even for the people we may judge unworthy of it. John 3:16 gets a lot of attention, and I think it should, because it summarizes so wonderfully and simply what we need to do to receive God's blessing and what that blessing is. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." What an amazing blessing. But I think John 3:17 is no less amazing. "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." We use things written in this or that part of the Bible to condemn and judge others. But in God's eyes, everyone is able to claim the blessing. God wants us all to be saved, not condemned. I think we need to take this into account whenever we encounter someone we consider less worthy than ourselves of God's blessing. God loves that person just as much as us, no matter what they've done and no matter what we've done. "Whoever believes will have eternal life." What an amazing gift. A gift we can never earn, but we can strive to be worthy of it. So what can we know about God from these blessings? First thing is that God loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his Son to die for us, and through that death be offered the blessing of eternal life. And we know God wants us to trust him. Just as Abraham trusted God to lead him and his family to a new land. And we know that God's blessing is for everyone. He loved the world, the whole world, not just those who already have a relationship with him. And we know that God is waiting for us to accept the blessing and take the journey with him. Let's pray. Our loving Father, we give thanks for the amazing blessing of eternal life you have bestowed upon the whole world. Journey with us as we strive to be worthy of your blessing, as we strive to put our trust in you above all else. Amen.
If you take out your hymn books again, to number 102, "To God Be the Glory," and let's stand.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done.
As we prepare for the benediction, it strikes me that this is a blessing. In fact, it names that, and today we understand a little better what that means. Thanks, Elizabeth. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
If you open your books again to 299, and let's stand again, if you can.
Peace.